Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Alan Dulles had second thoughts about a coup in Iran.
Mission aborted. Repeat, aborted. Get out of Tehran at once.
But it seemed Larry Darrell had thoughts of his own.
Are you kidding? I've just begun to fight. Caraway card ready to play. Do you realize we have a chance to overthrow a real government? This is better than tantric sex.
Meanwhile, back in Paris...
Paris, April 19th, 1953. Dear Ronnie, I received a cryptic note from Jake, who has hied himself off to Denmark for reasons unstated, so I'm alone with a bottle of aquavit and my thoughts. I'm glad you like Trimalchio and West Egg. I feel so damn distanced from it now, and yet in a way it feels like the only decent thing I've ever done with my life. After Jimmy Gatz died, when I sat down to write about him, I didn't know I was going to write a novel, or even what writing a novel meant. Hell, I didn't even know I was going to write. I just knew that before I could get on with my life, I had to figure out what had just happened. The notes that became Trimalchio were the beginnings of me trying to figure out not just who Gatz was, but why he was so damned important to me. The more I wrote, the more the writing itself started to matter. I found that I didn't simply want to understand what was important. I wanted to find the words to express it. As the days slipped into weeks, and the weeks into months, well, a few months, the emphasis started to shift. I was still trying to figure out Gatz, but I found myself more and more loving the process of writing. I was going back over the stuff I'd written, not just to make sure I'd gotten it right, but make sure I'd written it well. And I didn't really even know what good writing was. I just knew that I was starting to hear words differently, and that suddenly I cared more than I could say about how words sounded and how they looked when they started groping together on a page. I finished the writing and I sent it to a publisher, and wonder of wonders, it came out as a book. It's like babies or spinning gold from straw. I have no idea how it works. The book got a few good reviews and a few bad ones, and was otherwise massively ignored by the incognoscenti. I suspect the title didn't help. No one knew what the hell Trimalchio meant. It's a literary allusion, which is the kiss of death. The original Trimalchio was a character in Petronius's The Satyricon, a coarse parvenu who is respected by no one and whose only entree into polite society is his money. Over here in France, observing Americans throwing their weight and money around, I wonder if our country might be the Gatsby or the Trimalchio of the post-war era. So, the book sank beneath the swells of public notice. After Marjorie and I got engaged, it was understood that my little writing aberration was at an end. In years to come, my mother would refer to it as that time when I had the flu. Now, it's probably too late. It's probably too late for a lot of things. And maybe I never had the equipment to start with. And I still don't know what good writing is. Not too late for you, though. I remember when we hired you for Snickle Poo and the Babysitter. You were, what, 19? We were looking for someone who could relate to children, but could also project on television. To me, that meant someone who could sing a song. To our director, Jimmy Dodd, it meant, it doesn't matter how old they are, the only thing that sells on television is sex. What I'd really like to find is a girl who's just starting to develop. Let the audience tune in to see how much her titties have grown every week. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm trying not to edit myself with you anymore. Something's been growing in this correspondence, something every bit as mysterious and wonderful as the process Jimmy Dodd referred to. And I think we need to see each other one of these fine days to figure out just what it is. Your side of the Atlantic or mine? I listened to the singers you mentioned in your letter. Jake had a few of them, and I bought the rest from that little record store I told you about. I'd really never heard any of them except Ella Fitzgerald. I liked all of them, especially Chris Connor. That smoky voice of hers reminds me of the youth I wish I'd had. Sounds like the way the jazz age should have been. Love, Nick. P.S. Jake left his trip column in my custody while he's on his Denmark retreat. I had to split the duties with a young fellow named Buchwald. I'm making him go first. What the hell am I going to write about?
Encrypted and Decoded, 421, from Dulles to Daryl. Daryl, where are you? Report in at once. I repeat, we are no longer in the coup business. Shaw planning to announce abdication after we debrief him. We need to hear from you right away. Dulles.
Encrypted and Decoded, 421, from P. Radcliffe Jones to Alan Dulles. Mr. Dulles, unable to locate Mr. Daryl to deliver your last cable. Whereabouts unknown. P. Radcliffe Jones, Deputy Counselor of Embassy.
April 22nd, 1953. Dear Jake, have fun in Copenhagen. What the hell are you doing in Copenhagen? I flipped a coin with Buchwald. He lost, so he goes first in our babysitting of your column. He tells me he plans to do an expose of the New York Yankees. He claims they have a deal with the devil and he has the papers to prove it. I intend to follow up with a column on the scandal of escargot farming in the Parisian sewers. Little girls on leashes forced to sniff them out, fed only on martinis. The little girls, not the escargot. Or maybe both. I'm still investigating. Yours in journalistic solidarity and abject terror, Nick. P.S. Tell me something. You're a man of the world, or so I've heard, mostly from you, as I recall. I probably couldn't have asked you this in person, but I'm sitting here in this ridiculous French bathtub with my knees tucked up under my chin, holding the sorry remains of a bottle of aquavit, and I'm thinking about something Marjorie said to me more than once. She said I could never make a woman happy because of the way I was built. You know, the old tool of manhood department. How about it, Jake? Is size really the measure of a man? Give my regards to Hans Christian Andersen.
From Daryl, by hand. Tehran, April 23rd. Alden, can't meet you in person. I'm laying low. I've arranged for you to meet with Dr. Mossadegh. Your diplomatic standing is all set. Tell Mossy that as representative of the American people, you're concerned about American families who are being harassed. Tell him that innocent children are answering the family phone and being subjected to unspeakable threats and vile language. Tell him that you're appealing to his sense of decency and fair play to do something about it. Be yourself, kid. You have that American openness that he likes. Larry.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Tad Richards and Jonathan Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Tom Conti as Nick Carraway, Ambassador Joseph Wilson as Alan Dulles, Alan Nebelthaw as Larry Darrell, and Alex Richards as P. Radcliffe Jones. Tune in next time to hear Alden say,
"I've just had the most remarkable day of my life."